Welcome to PCMC. I'm here with my totally rad guest, Nadia Kater.
I bet that's really hard for you to keep up, isn't it?
No, I can't. I've already lost. Nadia, how are you?
Excellent. I'm Zuzzy Zazz.
Zuzzy Zazz. If you have to zuzz, you'll never zazz. So today we are talking about Smash, which means Saturday Morning All-Star Hits. This is a show that came out on Netflix 1 year ago, and it's created by Kyle Mooney, who's a comedian who you might know from Saturday Night Live, and Ben Jones. And it's actually executive produced by Lorne Michaels, but I don't know if that means anything. I think Lorne Michaels, like, I think part of your SNL contract is he produces everything you do for the first couple of years. I had heard the name Kyle Mooney, but I knew nothing about him before I watched Smash.
Yeah, I had no idea who he was. And the first time I saw him was in Smash. So imagine my severe disappointment to find out he doesn't have luscious long blonde hair.
Yes. So Smash basically is an 8-episode series that means to mimic Saturday morning cartoon blocks from the late 80s, early 90s. I think it's a very specific time of late 80s, early 90s. And you've got these wraparounds by Skip and Trebor, which are twins, blonde twins, that are both played by Kyle Mooney. Kyle Mooney plays everybody. There are some scenes in this where it's like three Kyle Mooneys talking to each other. And Skip and Trebor are the totally awesome hosts of Smash. And typically in every episode, there'll be two short cartoons that are meant to parody or pastiche some kind of Saturday morning cartoon. And it is really a feast for someone like me, or perhaps someone my age, because it's very much about 80s kind of pop culture and sort of VHS culture. I only found out recently that Kyle Mooney is a VHS collector and has a crazy VHS collection, which makes perfect sense because every one of these episodes is called tape one, tape two, tape three. And the show begins with like a blue screen and then a tape being put into a VCR, and you hear that sound and then you see like play. It's basically, it looks like what we're doing is we are watching old tapes that someone taped off TV, even to the point where like it'll go out of focus for a minute. Back what we used to call it tracking, like it gets all fuzzy for a minute. And then even sometimes there's like, you'll see like a home video of like a birthday party for a second, and then it's like taped over with Smash. So it's that sort of 80s VHS culture. And, I absolutely love this show. Tell me about how you came to it.
Honestly, I was just like, this seems really weird. And whenever something's really weird, I'm always in. Like, that's my bag. I'm like, I'm gonna check this out. And it's way stranger than it looks, because there is that VHS stuff. And also the attention to detail is amazing. The tracking thing you just talked about, when there are parts where it seems like, you know, they're cutting to commercial, and it sometimes they'll show the whole commercial and sometimes it'll just cut out, like someone stopped the tape and then started the recording again. Yeah. So that you don't have to see the commercial.
But the commercials are also fake commercials made for this show, and it builds this bigger world. You know, there's this world in Smash that, like, these are the celebrities, these are the cartoons. Like, there's a character named Mo Jones, who I guess is, like, the Michael Jordan of this world. And you'll see, like, a commercial for his sneakers. But then, like, you see a trailer for a movie that he's a guest star in, and then later on, there's a cartoon called Pro Bros. It's about one of his brother, his less successful brother. It's actually, it's super detailed. Like, there's so many, if you really pay attention and watch it more than once, you'll see all these little threads that are throughout all 8 episodes sort of coming together.
Oh, yeah. That's why I love that stuff. So I kind of went in without realizing, you know, not knowing nothing about Kyle Mooney. I'm slightly out of the age range of remembering Saturday morning cartoons, kind of like that.
Yeah.
But there were still a few because, you know, I'm like more like mid to late 90s. So that there's still that those few really crappy, low budget cartoons that were made to sell toys and
yeah,
that lasted like one season, but you don't know that because they just keep playing reruns. So like the show was canceled ages ago and you have no clue as a kid. But yeah, that really like hit into that. For me, the experience is almost like interdimensional cable, like they do on Rick and Morty.
Yes.
It's like, oh, this is familiar, but also very different. And very clearly has its own threads, its own world, its own celebrities and food.
Yeah.
Like the sub shop and the Diet Stripe commercial.
Right.
It's half the calories because it's half the can. And it's just like a half can of soda.
It's great.
it's fun for like the nostalgia hit is great. It's great for adults who like kind of dark humor because like all of this has really underlying bubbling to the surface really quickly, dark humor. And then of course, just people who are really detail oriented and just love like little throwbacks to stuff because throughout every episode they do, like you said, with the Mo Jones, they'll thread in a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And with the rewatch, you won't even realize they mentioned something in the first episode that comes out later at the end of the season.
Right.
Which is just fantastic.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of early 2000s Adult Swim, like the Aqua Teen Hunger Force,
Harvey Birdman.
What was the one underwater? C-Lab.
C-Lab 2021.
Yeah.
C-Lab 2020 was the original show.
Right. Like that kind of stuff. You know, really short, really. It looks familiar, but it's not. Although I like some of that stuff. I mean, I love that stuff at the time, but it was super snarky. Which I guess, you know, you're coming out of the 90s. That was sort of the way people were feeling. I actually feel like this definitely has dark humor in it. And it definitely makes jokes out of putting adult humor in the context of not an adult show. But I don't think that Smash is as snarky or cynical as early Adult Swim. I think Kyle Mooney actually loves this stuff. And I think there's a little bit of it that's a celebration. It's not all parody. I mean, it's very, very close parody. I mean, you can almost look at everything in the show and say, this is supposed to be that. And we'll do that. But I feel like he's genuinely enjoying it.
I agree. Because when you think of the shows, right? I guess, for example, when you think about Randy, really calls to mind in that. And that Randy is having a rough time.
Yeah.
But he's really trying. And like through the Randy episodes, you can see that Randy's trying to put his life back together. So, but it's not that he's like a failure at it so much as the environment he's in is difficult, but he's still trying, you know?
Right.
So in that sense, I would agree with you. It's not super cynical. It's just like real life is kind of hard. That's like something that comes up in the Critter show too.
Create a Crittles
too is like that guy that's clearly Dave from Garfield or whatever. Sorry, Dave from the Chipmunks. Alvin and the Chipmunks kind of thing is like he's trying really hard to keep his life together.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of not cynicism so much as just like this is hard, but you got to keep trying.
Yeah, in the first episode, one of the first cartoon we see is Randy. And Randy, and you see the opening to Randy, and it's the idea of, like, I think there was a book called Danny the Dinosaur or something. And it's basically like Randy's a dinosaur that they dug up, and now he's living in the 80s, and he skateboards, and he hangs out with kids, and he lives in the museum with the professor. And it's like, Randy! And then, like, the very first scene after that, like, very bubbly, very 80s cartoon opening, then you just see Randy sitting in the car with his girlfriend, who's a firefighter, and they're just not saying anything. And he's like, so it's over. And she's like, I just think, and it's just this very realistic, quiet, nuanced, heartbreaking breakup scene, which is something, of course, you'd never see in a show like that. And the kids, he goes hang out with his kid friends. And there's, like, the fat one that they always make fun of. And then there's the nerdy one named Digit, who always has a calculator. And he's like, by my calculations, I think this is great. And they're like, why'd she break up with you, Randy? And he's like, I don't know. She says, like, I don't kiss her as much as I used to. And I drink too much. And, like, Randy clearly has an alcohol problem. It's pretty awesome.
I also love that he's a human girlfriend and it's like a serious relationship. It's not.
Yeah.
And I also love that all these shows were kind of dropped into as if we're dropped mid-season. Like, there's no exposition of explaining how they got to this point, right? Like, all that stuff about Randy living in the museum and stuff, it's only touched on like one time when he's so depressed he won't leave the basement.
Right. Yeah, and the professor's like, he's like, go away, I just want to die. And the professor's like, what did you say? I couldn't hear you. Did you say something? What? And he's like, I didn't say anything. I just said I want to die. I still can't hear you. Well, you know, again, doesn't doing it like that help realize the idea of this being like broadcast TV? Because now we're so used to streaming and, you know, it's like a movie. You start it at the beginning and stuff. But broadcast TV, you wouldn't catch shows from the beginning often. You know, you turn on TV and it's right there in the middle. And shows were built to allow you entry into it, even though it's like right in the middle. So like it's kind of that feeling. You know, it gives the feeling of like this is what broadcast TV was like, which I think a lot of younger people wouldn't know because, you know, by the time the late 90s came, you had the cable revolution and then you had Cartoon Network and the Disney Channel, and Saturday morning cartoons on networks kind of went away. So it's really a thing of the past. It's a couple generations ago.
Yeah. Because you're right, because it's not a special block anymore if you have various networks dedicated to cartoons and young programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that just doesn't exist anymore. And those kind of shows, kind of like sitcoms in a way, it's just like they always kind of bounced back, right? So it didn't matter if you started the show on episode 27, you just always, you'll know what's going on, who's who. And there could be months at a time where between episodes, so they have to make sure that they just don't tie together that way.
Right.
But in this sense, it really does flow in that what's weird about Smash is that it is a nod to broadcast, but it's also a nod to streaming because every episode of Smash picks up where the last one left off, really.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, you'll watch an episode about Randy breaking up with his girlfriend, and then, like, the next episode will be about Randy still in the same place trying to get better.
Right, which is not what you would have had, really, at that time.
No.
I mean, you wouldn't have stories of that adult content either, but...
Or, like, Randy accidentally killing a kid at a drunken... inadvertently burning the house down.
Yeah, after his girlfriend breaks up with him, his girlfriend, the firefighter... Heather is voiced by Emma Stone. There's a couple of interesting celebrity voices in this, but then they also hire a lot of like old actual 80s people. So like some of the voices like sound really right. Like, yes, I remember these voices. And then there's like Paul Rudd somewhere in there.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Also, they had Cree Summer play different characters, voice different cartoon characters.
Yeah.
She's a very prolific voice actress.
Yeah.
She has to have like 400 credits to her name.
I'm sure,
like
yeah.
I gotta say that I love her voice in the Creative Criddles because it's intentionally bad. Like, you know, you know that she's better than that, but she's like dropped. It's like the character has an English accent, but it goes away sometimes.
So right. You're right, right. Yeah, I know. It's awesome. Yeah, Randy's girl in the first episode, which is called Tape on School, and it's always it's called school because the wraparounds of Trebor and Skip is them in a school. It's like all these interstitials in a school. By the way, I didn't know this, but I think you told me that these characters are based on like a real Canadian duo that hosted some Saturday morning.
Okay. Yeah, this is so weird. And I only found this out because I was looking up this show. So there was a Saturday morning block hosted by Chip and Pepper, who were blonde and kind of a little buff tan dudes with California surfer accents. But then when I looked into them, they were from Canada. So that's what Skip and Trebor are based on. And their Chip and Pepper show only lasted one season. For some reason, they got a season of a show where they were hosting a bunch of shitty cartoons. And then they just kind of dropped off and became businessmen that sell jeans.
Okay.
I don't know.
Were the real ones twins?
Yeah.
So Kyle Mooney. Yeah.
It makes sense, yeah. So Chip and Pepper are identical twins, like, it's spoiled later that they're not identical twins, but they're triplets. There's a triplet that looks nothing like them.
Right.
By a different guy. But yeah, so Chip and Pepper were twins. And someone uploaded the first episode, but I could not get through 10 minutes of it because it's a really bad transfer. But basically, like, there's an announcer that says, Chip and Pepper were cartoon bulldogs, but when they were pulled into this universe, they became people. And you're like, what? And then they just completely drop that, and it's just these two surfer dudes. Like, it's very strange. It makes no sense. So in a weird way, Smash is actually more tuned into real life than Chip and Pepper, as they're not cartoon bulldogs that got sucked into another dimension.
They're just cool dudes.
They're just cool dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like the initial skeleton of just why they're twins.
Right. Yeah.
And why they sound like California surfer dudes.
Right.
But it's not stated where Skip and Trebor are from, but it's kind of coded that they're supposed to be California-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. We should say the show is directed by Ben Jones and Dave McCary. And it's written by Kyle Mooney, Ben Jones, Dave McCary, and Scott Gardiner. So what you see in the first episode, school, is at the end of it, they're like on the school track, and Skip and Trebor are running. And who is the one? I think it's Trebor is the one who falls and hurts his knee, and he says, "Mommy," and like, that starts this theme that the whole show ends up being about, of like a rift between them.
Yeah, because Skip keeps making fun of him.
Yeah. And it's so funny because they're like exactly the same guy, but Skip ends up being way more successful. And I believe it's the first episode where Skip says Zuzzy Zazz, and Trebor's like, what does that mean? That doesn't even mean anything.
That kid becomes his catchphrase.
Right, right.
But you know what's funny? It's like, it's very subtle details, right? It's Skip and Trebor are similar, but Skip is like, has a more quick delivery. Like, I can't even say that he is more charismatic or anything. It's just that he's the attention grabber. So it's like, he's the one that's running to make the joke or make the reference before Trebor can even like do any setup. Cause that's what starts to happen throughout their work on Smash, is that every time there's a setup in the writing that Trebor is starting, Skip jumps in and just does whatever he wants.
Right.
And also, like, Skip has straight is wearing a straight blonde wig, and Trevor has wavy hair. It's those little nods are just what I appreciate. It's like, no, they sound exactly the same. They look the same. They play to the same guy.
Right.
But there's these really small differences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what makes Skip a star.
Right. You see a fake toy commercial for Strongimals, which later on in an episode you start to see Strongimals cartoons, and Strongimals I think is like a Thundercats kind of show.
Yeah, Thundercats or possibly He-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those crappy shows for selling toys, basically.
I love He-Man. All right, so this. So the second cartoon in the first episode is a Creator Crittles. And these are these furry little bears that help their human artist friend be creative. And like there's Brusho, and he has brush hands, and Sizzy, who has scissor hands, and Pesto, who has like glue hands. But they're also very much I think like Care Bears. And they use Crittle dust for their creativity, but it's basically cocaine. Like one of the creative critters will put the glittering dust on his arm and like, go ahead. And then like they sniff it and then they like go wild and act creative. And it's all about creativity. And they live in the garage of David, who's a human who works for an ad agency, but is not very creative.
Yeah. And also for some reason, his wife hates creativity or hates them. It's very weird. It's never explained.
He's got to keep it away. His wife can't know that the creative critters are living in the garage, or she'll divorce him. And he's played by Paul Rudd.
Oh, there's a fourth one called RGB.
Yes, RGB.
RGB, but like the rainbow colors. That's what that is.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, because it's pronounced RG, like ARGIE, B, like almost like Archie, but not. And then it's actually the initials of the rainbow. And God, I can't even remember what that one. They all look the same, except they have like a different hands.
Yeah.
Which is really unsettling.
Right. You learn that David is working for the Bumpy Bee Subs, which is like kind of like Subway, Bumpy Bee Subs, and he's supposed to design a new logo for them. And the creative critters are like, we don't like that you're doing a corporate job. It's a very, very weird, like their stance on corporate art. And what's funny is, and this goes by so fast, in the credits of Creative Critters, it says created by Tuto, which I think is a reference to Peyo, who created Smurfs. Because at Smurf, he was an artist with one word name, Peyo, and it would say at the end of every Smurfs, created by Peyo, and this was created by Tuto.
Oh, so that's, like, that's a good.
even in the credits, there's little things, like little references and stuff. So then we see in the trailer for Video Game Master, which is this ridiculous live action movie where Kyle Mooney plays like he's like a medieval king in the 80s. But like they never get to the joke that he's a medieval king. Like he'll be like, you might know there's something different about me. And like, yes, he's like, I don't like pizza. And like they just never get to the joke. And also in that film, where you introduce two other characters, Johnny Rash, who's also played by Kyle Mooney. And he's like, he's supposed to be like Johnny Depp. And he's in the movie. And also Lottie, I forget her last name, who is a star, and she has her own sitcom called Lottie, which is like Blossom, except there's like a Bigfoot in it.
for some reason,
right.
There's a Bigfoot in it.
Right.
So those are like the first. Later on, they kind of start introducing other shows. So a little like as those shows kind of petered out, you know, like in that time period, they would just introduce new ones that are very similar, kind of like simplistic art style, low budget stuff. But that's what we start with. And the medieval king one, what was so weird about that is they explain the entire plot in the trailer.
Right.
Which it was kind of like a TV movie, like a Disney movie in that regard, where it's like every single thing that happens to the medieval king with the skateboard or whatever, they give him a skateboard at some point. It's you get the whole movie in that 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a cameo from Mo Jones in it. The basketball player. So then tape two is called Lost, and that's episode two, and it's because the Skip and Trebor are doing their wraparounds from like the woods, and they're like, we're lost in the woods. So they show Randy's hungover. He writes a sad song. He applies to music college.
His sad song is just like a synth. And just Randy going, what is the point?
Yeah,
what
is the point?
And he gives it to his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
He applies to... You know what? What I also really loved is, like, when he's going through his depressive periods talking to his girlfriend, he's like, you know, I thought I was... I woke up in a million years in the future. I'm the last dinosaur, but then it turns out I'm not the last dinosaur. And then, like, their shitty Triceratops neighbor, like, pops his head up. So it's like Randy is kind of trying to find himself because he's a dinosaur, but there's also a bunch of dinosaurs here. Yeah. So that's not even unique. And then when he goes to music college, he's one of multiple dinosaurs who look exactly like him.
There's tons of dinosaurs
that are like, oh, I'm doing drum machine. Oh, I'm doing drum machine. And like they all do drum machine, like Randy. Yeah,
it's great. And he goes to music college, and like it's really like making fun of college, because it's like he goes to a class and the teacher is like, I'm going to play some music for you, but I'm going to play something that's not rock and roll, but it's where rock and roll came from. And she plays like blues, and he's like, whoa, my mind is blown. And then like, he goes home and plays blues for his friends. And like, we don't like this. And he's like, you're not smart enough to get it. Like, he just is being shitty to his friends who are little kids.
Which is like, how did he meet a bunch of little kids, and why are they his closest friends?
I don't know. There's a funny thing in this episode where they're like the fat kid Rocco that they're always making fun of. They're like, oh, Rocco will sit on you. And then Rocco goes, I don't like that, and I want it to stop. And everybody's just quiet and awkward.
They're all in the fire engine, the girlfriend's fire truck.
Yeah.
That happens too. So this grown woman is dating a dinosaur and is also hanging out with a bunch of kids.
Right. And she says she went to fire college. That's how she learned to be a firefighter. And there's a point where they're arguing. He's drunk and they're arguing. And he goes, you know what? I don't think you're a good dancer. Which I think is supposed to be like, she's bad at sex. I don't think you're a good dancer. Because she's super taken aback by that.
Yeah, but then she's like, she's later on when they're reconciled, it's like, oh, you think I'm bad at dancing with moves like this? And she's just like moving her arms and not moving anything else.
Yeah. Then we've got another creative critters. David's boss David is invited to his boss's house
with his creative family.
He's supposed to, his job is to redesign the Bumpy Bee logo. He goes really conservative with it, but the creative critters get all fucked up and they take it and they do their own thing with it, and the boss ends up liking it. Everything with the boss is like, he says something that you think is gonna be terrible and then it turns out being good. Well, there's that weird scene where he's like, if you want to work here, eat this bowl of vomit. And David's like, okay. And then they're like, oh, we're just messing with you. It's like very super weird stuff. You find out that David's father was an eraser maker. And I think his wife is like, we don't make creativity, we erase it.
You're trying to be different. What I love about the logo thing is like the creative critters got, you know, really high off the critter glitter, and they just turn it into a bubble letter B with like two different colors on it. And that's like wild and creative. Bubble
right.
Letters.
And the boss is like, this is not what I asked for at all. This is such an insult to the original logo, but I love it. Now we have the first Strong Almost cartoon. They fight for peace, not war. They use the power of peace to fight. And it's really funny because it's just super violent. but they're fighting with peace power. Yeah, they use their hate dar to find mean people and try to make them more peaceful. So this is the first time you hear somebody say shut up, the which ends up being a big thing in this show. The mean guy, there's a baby crying, and the mean guy says to the baby, shut up. And then they go into, in the cartoon, there's a bumpy sub shop, and Skip is animated. He mentioned this earlier, that he's going to have a cameo on the show. And the only thing he says is, subs? And that's the end of it. And like, when they cut back to the guys, Trey Boar's like, wow, you just had one line that had really nothing to do with the show. And Skip's like, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have made such a big deal about it. But then later on, that's actually like what rockets him to stardom.
Is subs.
So you see, like, the Bumpy Bee sub shop is something that repeats throughout. And the shut up thing becomes a big deal in the show.
It's actually a hit single from Johnny Rash.
Oh, shut up. Yeah.
Shut up. Oh, man. So there's one point in the Strongimals episode. I don't know if it's like in the first or the second one, but they're talking. This is when Skip starts getting more popular. So they make him a character on the show. And at one point, they're all like reading newspapers, and all the Strongimals are like holding newspapers and like flattening it down to be like, well, what do you mean? And like the shock. It's like, why are they all reading newspapers? It's just like such little stuff like that. Yeah. Just gets so, it's just like little nuggets of joy.
Yeah. It's so dense in a way. Like, packed into every frame is so much information, you know, and these are only like half hour episodes, but they feature like two short cartoons, usually an episode, and like the wraparounds, which all have these narratives that are going throughout the show. Tape 3 is called Zoo, and they're at the zoo. And in the very beginning, a little kid comes up to Skip, and he's like, are you Skip from the Strongimals? And like Trey Boar starts to get jealous, and Skip is like, whoa, I'm famous. And the head of the head of the network comes on, and she's like, I just want to say that Skip is going to be a full-time member of the Strongimals, and we just want to thank you. And she brings out like a platter of subs, and he's like, subs? you see the Strongables, but in the first time you saw Strongables, you saw this very like Thundercats type opening, but now you see that, and then it pauses, and then Skip's like, hey, these are the Strongables, and he tells his whole story, and then it says Strongables, and then he writes in spray paint like Skip and the Strongables.
Actually, I think it's Mustard.
Oh, Mustard, right. Stubbs is his thing.
Yeah. And then he like sorry, it's like it gets to a point where Skip owns his own sub shop.
Right.
On the show.
And like the Strongables are barely in it. Yeah, that's actually a direct reference to something that happened in the later seasons of Ghostbusters. They changed it to be called Slimer and the Real Ghostbusters. So it was the exact same thing. In the beginning, it would say Ghostbusters, and then Slimer would come out, and in Slime, right, Slimer and. And so it's like exactly that.
That's great.
In the credits, it says produced by Gick, G-I-K, which is a parody of Deek, D-I-K, which was a Canadian animation company. So, so in Strongimals, Skip goes to a fancy rich person party that his mom is throwing, and you see they're all like pigs. It's like this weirdly Marxist thing where they're like, they're evil because they're rich.
Yeah, strange. Yeah. And then the Strongimals start beating them up, because that's what they do. Very violently beating up and killing people. But then, like, Skip and his stepmom kind of make up.
Right.
And that stops. That makes everything better.
Right. So, yeah, episode 3 ends with we see a news break, like a news break, like breaking news. And it's kid news. Johnny Rash was seen leaving a young adult club called Cool City with Lottie, and that's also the first time they mention that he wears two different sneakers, which is another thing that repeats. And then you see the Johnny Rash video, Aw, Shut Up. So we don't have to go, there's 8 episodes, we don't have to go detail through all of them, but I want to make sure that we talk about each one of the cartoons in this world.
Oh, yeah.
So there is something called Lil Bruce, that's clearly just making fun of Bobby's world, and it's this very adult, again, played by Kyle Mooney, this very adult 80s comic whose act has been turned into a kid's show, and clearly he's, like, not comfortable with it. Or he's not right for it. And so, like, you'll see, like, him, the little kid version of Lil Bruce, and then he'll come out live action and be, and like, narrate, which is what would happen in Bobby's world. But he keeps coming back out and saying more shit. And then he ends up talking about his parents' divorce. And then he's like, can we just stop? Can we just, I don't want to do this anymore today. And it's, like, all in the show.
Oh, yeah. It's weird in that sense. So it's like, is it happening at the same time, or like they somehow filmed this and for some reason kept it in the show? But also, like, when he's interrupting throughout that show, it gets to a point where he's just reiterating the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, it's only one, Little Bruce actually gets canceled, and they say that. So it only lasts one episode, but it has that such.
So that's the one episode.
It's like, you know, it's like I wasn't in my parents' living room. It's like I was, you know, back in an old Wild West jail.
But he does that like 9 times. Every time it's supposed to be like an imagination thing, he's like, it's like I was in the old West, which is hilarious because that's what Bobby's world felt like.
I didn't watch it. I remember like when it would come on, the credits would be like little Bobby on a like tricycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a big wheel. And he had a backpack that kind of looked like a spider. And that's when I would turn it off.
Yeah.
But
they do a fake commercial for a toy called Rude Cubes, which is kind of parroting the sort of gross out 80s toy craze. There was a real toy called Mad Balls, which are like these balls with like these rubber balls with like gross faces. And Rude Cubes is like clearly making fun of that. And in the commercial, one of the cubes says, "Oh, shut up." So another reference to shut up.
Oh my God. I just looked these. I haven't thought about these in years.
Mad Balls?
I remember Mad Balls.
Yeah.
I never had them because they're useless, but yeah. It's that kind of toy that just exists for the mild novelty of what it is, but yeah. You can't really do anything with it. It's not like a ball you can really play with. It just kind of looks disgusting. And the same thing with the cubes.
Yeah.
Wow. God, those toys sucked. So the shut up comes up again, and it's now, I don't know, does this happen in the third or fourth episode when they have that public service announcement?
No, that ends up being episode 7.
Oh, okay. So that's a little later.
Yeah. Yeah, things build over like just 8 episodes. You see things build very quickly. So in this episode, you get the news break and they're like, star of the sitcom Lottie, whatever her last name is. Oh, Lottie. Lottie and her boyfriend, Brandon, who's played by Dylan Sprouse, are missing. And that begins the story of like them being missing, which goes throughout the rest of the show. I should say Lottie is played by Geraldine Viswanathan, who is really great. She's in Blockers, and she's also in that Simon Rich show about God. What's that show?
Miracle Workers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the character's name is Lottie Wolf.
Lottie Wolf. Yeah, so the news report is like, Lottie Wolf is missing. Oh, and you see like, this is, I think, trying to evoke the OJ trial. You see, like, outside her house is all bloody, and then you see, like, her Blossom hat with, like, a big flower on it, but it's bloody.
Oh, yeah, when they were, like, staging stuff, like a 2020 or something, like a special, and there's, like, this announcer, and he's, like, in a classroom for some reason and talking about, like, leading up to the missing and possibly murdered.
Right.
That was good.
Episode 5 is called News, and it's basically like an adult news magazine show that they call Prime Line, but it's basically like 2020 or Prime Time. And you know, the first news show is about the success of Skip and the Saturday morning cartoons and Skip and the Strongimals. And like, you see like a voice artist who voices Randy, and he's like, oh, this is how I talk about Randy. This is how I talk for Randy. And this is how I talk when I'm doing the Creator Critters. And it just sort of like, again, it builds out the world. And then the second story ends up being about Lottie and her disappearance.
That that voice actor thing was pretty great, though.
It was very spot on.
It was, and he also looked like like an 80s, 90s kind of voice actor. And then as he does all the voices in a row, then you hear that it sounds the same.
Yeah.
He's basically doing the same voice, just like Randy's a little more of a downer.
Yeah.
And Brusho is like high up.
Yeah.
I love when he's like, you know, I've been in this business for 40 years and I've never seen a talent like Skip. It's like Skip is just a naturally talented, and it's just Skip going like, subs.
Yeah, you see, and then Skip's being interviewed and the interviewer is like taking it very seriously, and she's like, subs. Maybe the two most important words in language. What does a subs mean to you? And it skips like, wow, I think it's like a mirror, you know? If you don't know how to express yourself, you can just say subs, and that kind of says it all. And then the head of this network comes out and she's like, I just want to announce the Skip and the Strongables movie. Live action movie starring Skip.
And his co-star, Johnny Rash.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then he gets into the murder mystery. And eventually it gets into that Johnny Rash is the prime suspect.
Yeah.
That was such a good buildup.
Yeah. Then we have we have Pro Bros, which is meant to be, I think, like when cartoons in the 90s got very violent, because they're like, it comes on right after Primeline. They're like, Pro Bros, a more adult cartoon, is premiering in prime time before it goes on to Smash on Saturday mornings. And it's this crazy idea of the show is called Pro Bros. And the show is about a baseball player and a basketball player that are both the less talented brothers of famous basketball players and baseball players. It's Mo Jones's brother, Bo Jones. But the show is created and written by Ethan Rash, who is the brother of Johnny Rash, who's also jealous of his brother. So what's great about the Pro Bros is you're really watching the writing, because you know the character of the writer, and you see through the writing, it's all about like jealousy of one brother of another, which is kind of like the theme throughout this entire show.
I love that they also use the term multiple times, less prominent brother.
Yeah.
Like,
why does everyone always say that?
Which is like, why is that the phrase that keeps coming up? Just because we're less prominent brothers doesn't make us any less athletic. Yeah. We're the older brothers. And there's also like a promo before the show with the actual players who are supposed to be like captured in the show. But it's clear that they're not voiced by them because they read so unnaturally.
Yeah.
And they don't sound the same. Ethan is also a character on the show.
Yes.
So he wrote himself as their trainer. For some reason, a basketball player and a baseball player are trained by the same person.
Yeah.
But also throughout the show, Ethan is showing amazing talents. And then one of the brothers is always like, wow, Ethan, you are so multi-talented.
Wow, you're such a great writer.
Yeah, he writes them a script. So like in the show, Ethan's showing off his writing abilities by writing them a script to go undercover to the bad guy's lair.
Right. It's ridiculous. And then it gets crazy violent where they like shoot people in the heads and stuff. But there's one scene where somebody's getting punched and he starts bleeding green, and they're like, oh, well, stop it. And he's like, no, it's okay. He's bleeding green, which is so funny because that's the way they would actually do it back then. Like in Ninja Turtles, they made the Foot Clan all robots. So it wasn't as violent when they were cutting them in half and murdering them.
Right, it's like a fluid. It's not.
Yeah. And then the bad guy, Selfish. The bad guy's name is Selfish, and he's the evil bad guy in Pro Bros. But the bad guy wears two different kind of sneakers, which means Ethan, the writer, is basing the bad guy on Johnny Rash and his jealousy for Johnny Rash. Because in the show, they're like, and what's with the wearing two different sneakers thing?
Yeah. And he also has dark hair like Johnny Rash, too.
Right, right.
And yeah, Ronnie Selfish. So, and even Ethan, who's voicing the character Ethan, when he's talking about Ronnie Selfish, he always says Johnny first and then corrects himself.
Yeah, right. As if you would leave that in a cartoon, a mistake like that. Johnny, I mean Ronnie. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And they say things like, let's go save our brothers, even though they wouldn't do the same for us. Or like, Ronnie Selfish forgot that he's supposed to be a role model. Like, it's all like these things leveled at Johnny Rash.
Yeah, it's so petty.
It's crazy. Yeah, what's the name? In the end credits, they show the production company.
Oh my God. Yeah, so it's Ethan's production company. Actually, oh my God, I actually forgot what it was. I have to look at my, like, text to you. Because I caught it when I was doing my rewatch. Oh my God. Oh, Shadow Talent.
Shadow Talent Productions. Which is like, that's just for like a second. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to really be looking at the credits to catch it. And it's hilarious, though.
So Pro Bros is actually based on a canceled show called Pro Stars, where superheroes who are athletes. So it's Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and Bo Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird? Oh, my God. It's so weird. But I didn't watch that show, but I did remember when the Harlem Globetrotters had a cartoon. Yeah. But that was way back when. And that was more comedic. Than this. This was like, this show, Pro Bros, takes itself very seriously.
Yeah.
And also there's a part where the baseball player actually beats up a kid because the kids are doing drugs out of the rec center. So he throws a baseball at his head and then does it again.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's okay because they're on drugs. And you're like, that kid's like 12.
Right. Well, there's that funny exchange where he's like, where'd you get these drugs? And he's like, the rec center. And he's like, the rec center? And he's like, no, the rec center. And he's like, aren't we saying the same thing? And the kid's like, the wrecked ED center. Because we get wrecked there. Yeah, it's great.
There's also this part where Ronnie Selfish, like the plan doesn't make sense, right? It's like, the Ronnie Selfish is giving people drugs that also give them powers, but too much of the drug turns them into snakes. Right. And there's one scene where he's like holding two snakes and he kisses one of them like on the mouth. And you're like, is this Ethan just being like, my brother is a creep?
Yeah,
or is this real? and even the characters are uncomfortable. They're like, oh,
yeah.
Like they're actually reacting to
it. Yeah. Well, there's also a really great thing with a bad guy where the bad guy kidnaps the more talented brothers, and then the Pro Bros are like, oh, you want to kidnap us and put us on your team? And he's like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, like, sure.
And they're like, we'll play for you if we have to. And he's like, yeah, whatever you want to do. And they keep being like, our style of non-flashy play. we focus on fundamentals and not being flashy.
Because Mo Jones is famous for doing dunks, but his brother isn't.
Right.
Or he can't or something. Yeah. I don't remember what that was. But yeah.
So tape 6 is called Movie. And it's just Trey Boer alone hosting, and they're on the set of the Skip and the Strongimals movie. And like, he's like, oh, this young kid, Dylan Kay, he won the sweepstakes to come on the set of Skip and the Strongimals. And the kid's like unhappy, and he's like, ah, oh. And he's like, I wanted to meet Skip. And he's like, okay, we'll see if we can find Skip. And he's like, you want to go do this? And the kid's like, no. And, and like Skip's making the movie. And like, you see him like kissing this beautiful actress. And Trey Boy like makes some noise. And they're like, hey, quiet on the set. And it's like, he's so unwelcome.
Yeah, everyone treats Traber like shit, but there's no real precedent for it. It's just, everyone's just hostile because he's not Skip.
Right.
And the Skip in the Strong Animals movie is live action. So, like, it's Skip as a person, and then his co-stars are a bunch of people in giant furry mascot costumes.
Yeah. Yeah. And clearly, the point of the movie is like all about Skip.
Yeah, and they're kind of just like his friends.
Yeah.
It's very weird. It's also shot in what they call the Dene Islands, which I guess is like Hawaii. Sets up for the new show.
Right. And they say like one of the things that's happening on this island is these kids are playing with these rubber bands, and they've created this game called Slingers, which is a parody of Pog, which was a real thing that happened, which was they were like, I guess the tops of these Pog juice, like Pog is what? It's pineapple, orange, guava. So that's why it's called Pog. And like that became a game the kids played and collected. So this is like, again, it's like an alternative reality version of that, Slingers, and the kids collect all of these like rubber bands.
Was there actually a show with that?
No, but they do in this, they're like in like, I think it's the last episode, they show like a Slingers cartoon where it's like magical. But I think they use that as a way of making a Pokemon parody, because it seems to be like the change that's happening in their little culture.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh, which was like card based,
right?
So, which was also made into a cartoon. Even Beyblades, which was like tops, that was made into a cartoon also. So it's following that trend.
Yeah, it in the Slinger show, they keep saying only you can have found all of them. Like, instead of gotta catch them all, it's only you can have found all of them. That's the exact phrasing that they keep saying.
It's so intentionally awkward.
Right.
And it just becomes this stupid cartoon. And like the rubber bands are actually like character, like muscle characters, but they also have tool heads.
Right. Like what guy's like a hammerhead?
Yeah, and there's like good guy tools and bad guy tools, that the evil mad scientist has the bad guy ones.
Yeah.
It's really stupid. But it's pretty good.
Tape 7 is called Danger, and this is really a kind of direct reference to All-Star Cartoons to the Rescue, which PCMC did an episode on All-Star Cartoons to the Rescue, which was all of the networks simulcast this show with all these cartoon characters, and it's anti-drugs. But in this, it's anti-saying shut up. And it begins with this woman, and underneath it just says president of the country. And she's like, I'm here to talk to you about a scourge that's happening. People saying S up. and then like Digit from Randy's there. And he's like, by my calculations, that's a rude thing to say. And then the president's like, you're right, Digit. And then it goes into like this story that's really exactly like All-Star Cartoons to the Rescue, where it's like an older brother. There's a younger brother, and the older sister tells him to shut up. And he's like cries, and like he meets Randy, and he meets the Strongimals and Skip, and he meets all these people, and they all like talk about the dangers of shut up.
And little Bruce is there. I guess this is before he was told that his show was canceled.
Right, right.
It's all of them together. And oh, you know what's funny? Digit was voiced by Pamela Adlon. It's random.
Yes. Well, she does a lot of cartoon voices, right? She's Bobby Hill from King of the Hill. I think she's also Randy's professor as well.
Oh yeah. This little stuff is just it's just fun. So it's like an epidemic, and so like now the narrative's shifting away from shut up to like it's a bad thing, which also puts Johnny Rash in a bad light in a different way, because he has a single called Shut Up.
Right.
And that's basically where it starts going downhill.
But then he does a commercial for Bumpy Subs, and he does a parody of his own song called Subs Up.
Just Sub Up.
Yeah.
And but that's what's great about that is that it's a direct reference to Subway because it's after Johnny is seen as a suspect, and then they're playing this commercial with him in it.
It's just, it's just hats on hats on hats on hats. This show, there's just so much happening. And then that cartoon is they break in with a news report, and this is very like OJ. It's they found the body. They haven't found Lottie's body, but they found the body of her co-star Brandon. And the main suspect is Johnny Rash, and Johnny Rash is running through the woods. And it's shown to us like the OJ Bronco chase, but that was on a highway. And this is just a guy running in the woods. And he's just like, he's obviously like running, not very fast. And
it's really boring too.
Yeah. It's like, he's like, oh, he's a, he's obviously not an athlete. He looks like he's out of breath.
the body, the actor is actually Sean Benjamin, played by Dylan Sprouse. Yeah, so whatever. He really just exists to be murdered. So they chase Johnny in the helicopter for like a really long time.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? We forgot. Before that, on the set of the Skip and the Strongimals, Trey Boar is trying to interview Johnny and Skip.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when they have that breakup. And that's when Johnny's acting really weird.
Yeah.
Like, he's very, he's very, like, obviously disturbed.
Yeah.
And he says something about, they didn't even find her body, like, talking about Lottie. And it's just like, what? And then he just, like, walks off, and he's just so aggressive and nasty. And that's when Trey Boar decides to quit.
Yeah. And that's also when Skip says, shut up. And that kind of like hurts his career.
Oh man. Yeah. It's God, this is so good.
Yeah. So the next episode is the last episode. It's called Live, and it's supposed to be live at the premiere of Skip and the Strongholds. And now that Trey Boar has left, it's just being hosted by Skip, and he kind of like doesn't have it anymore. He's awkward on live TV. He keeps missing his cue. It's just, he's just obviously not comfortable alone. They have him on the red carpet, like interviewing actors from like an adult drama called Intimate Compromise Casino Night Seduction. And they're just being rude to him.
Yeah. Cause he's so awkward, and they're just, they're like, they don't know why they're there. And I'm wondering if that's a direct reference to something, but
yeah.
So Intimate Compromise is like this really over the top sexy movie.
Yeah. It's like, again, it's a perfect of the time. It's like the 90s kind of like Indecent Proposal, Basic Instinct kind of movie.
Yeah. And there's something about a dice scene that's supposed to be really like titillating. And all you see in the commercial though, is like this blonde lead throwing a pair of dice at the male lead's crotch. Like he's laying in bed with his legs open and there's just two red dice being thrown at him.
Yeah.
And Skip is like, whoa, people are talking about that dice scene, and the actors are like, what about it?
Yeah. And then they're turning it into a Saturday morning cartoon, which is ridiculous. And he's like, do you have anything to do with the cartoon? And then the actor's like, not at all.
They're like giving him nothing. It's like, it's so hostile.
And then Ethan Rash, along with Trey Boar, sort of crash the show. And they're like, you're a sellout. And Ethan is talking about how his brother, he's like, my brother's a murderer and all this stuff. Which is why I said to you the other day, I said, I have a fan theory. I don't think Johnny Rash killed Lottie. I think Ethan did to frame him.
Which, you know what? The thing that's weird about that is it could be a possibility, but it's also because of how weird Johnny was acting.
Right.
I actually wonder if, and I don't think we're ever going to know anything about this because we don't even know if this is going to be made into something else.
I really doubt Netflix is going to do another season of this. This is it, I think.
Yeah. But I was wondering if it was more complicated than that. Like, Ethan killed Sean Benjamin to frame Johnny, but Johnny already killed Lottie.
Maybe.
Because they found Shawn Benjamin, but they didn't find Lottie. And right. There's also rumors that there might have been something going on between the two of them. Could they work together?
Right, right. And as the show ends, we never, she's never found Lottie's body.
Yeah.
So then the last episode ends with another news break. And this is another news, like, it's sort of like a human interest piece. And it's about this little girl. And this little girl, she was watching the live show. And she's like, when they showed this clip of Skip and the Strongables, look in the background and you see Johnny Rash, like, throwing sneakers into the ocean. And they're like, they never tell you how Johnny Rash's trial ended up, but you get the sense that he was set free. And then, like, now Johnny Rash is on a new trial, which people say is not looking good for him. All thanks to this little girl cartoon fan.
Yeah, because she would record stuff and then watch it. So that's another nod to, like, the structure of it, is that she records every episode of Smash.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Yeah, it could be her tapes.
She's also dressed like Lottie because Lottie's, like, her hero.
Right, right. And they also do something really interesting where after that you see they throw the commercial, but the news anchor's like, coming up, a story about sludge, a scene kids are getting into, and you see kids like wearing grunge stuff, and it's like sludge is this universe's version of grunge. And that's really like the mark of the end of the 80s, right? Like, when you once you start to have like in the mid 90s or early mid 90s grunge, there's a big cultural change. So it's like, in a way, this really tells this, in a way, it tells a story of this weird little moment in time between like the 80s and 90s, which really was like late 80s to mid 90s.
Yeah. So, it kind of doesn't need to continue.
No, it doesn't. So that's basically it. There's way more to it, but I wanted to ask you, of all the cartoons in the show, what's your favorite cartoon?
Oh, that's hard. it's definitely not Pro Bros.
Okay.
That made me physically uncomfortable.
Why? Why?
Just how it was dark for the sake of being dark.
Yeah.
I also really can't stand Ethan Rash. There's something that rubs me off about that guy.
Okay.
I think it's Randy.
Yeah, you know what? I think mine is Randy too. Like, I actually got sad later on in the season when they stopped doing Randy, because like the first three episodes have Randy and then the next bunch don't. And I was like, I was super invested in Randy.
I wonder if there's any nod to maybe rebooting some of this stuff, like for a later years.
I would watch just a Randy show. Just do Randy. I would totally be into that.
Oh, man. Randy has such a sad life. But, so a lot of these shows did have, like, sequels or reimaginings or, like, reboots, right? Like, the Creative Crittles, they do a later episode where they're all small and they have, like, a nanny. And it's like Muppet Babies.
Right. Crittle Littles.
Yeah. So I wonder if it was to continue, but it would just be a different format where it'd just be newer shows.
Yeah, probably.
Or like a CGI remake of Randy or something.
yeah. Or like a reboot of Strongimals that's like trying to be more action.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
The way this is framed, it's like you can keep going. Yeah,
there's plenty to parody. I mean, in the late 80s, early 90s, after the He-Man craze ended and the original show ended, they did a He-Man reboot called The New Adventures of He-Man, where him and Skeletor both get sent into space, and they're like in space now, and it's all different side characters, and it's just really not very good.
How long did that last?
Like that with the Strongables.
Oh, you can watch The New Adventures of He-Man on Peacock.
There you go. You know, you said your least favorite was Pro Bros. I kind of like Pro Bros because there's that sort of double consciousness there of you're watching the cartoon, but you also know the fictional character that is the writer of the cartoon, which I like. I think, I actually think Skip and the Strongimals is my least favorite cartoon. Every time it'd come on, I'd be like,
it sucked. I mean, who cares about Skip?
Yeah. And so the show ends with like, now Oh, they find out they have a third brother because they're fighting on live TV and their mom comes out and she's like, wait, don't fight. I have to tell you something. You have a third brother and his name is Corby.
Who's also wearing a blonde wig has a shitty goatee. Yeah.
And then you see all three of them are hosting Mirsch Monday early afternoon rock song hits. So they're all like VJs at the end, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so it moves away because it was moving away from that, moving into the Scludge or whatever.
Yeah.
But then Corby starts hamming it up and basically becoming the Skip of that show. It's just seen really quickly.
Yeah. Let me ask you, we're kind of wrapping up, but let me ask you, do you think this show has value to like someone who's like 18 right now?
I don't know if they get it.
Right. They definitely wouldn't get it. They definitely would not get the past. They might get that it is pastiche, but they wouldn't know what it's pastiching. But I'm wondering, is there value there?
I mean, I think that the writing is interesting. And like I said earlier, the framing is very stream-like, just if you look at the series as a whole, because it just continues on and on. As if you're watching 8 episodes in a row.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, it could be if trying to just be in this really weird world. But I also don't think, I can't imagine someone being interested. Like, I wouldn't say it's necessarily not valuable, but I could see it would be hard to kind of get over that. I wasn't from this time.
Right. Sometimes when I love something really a lot, I go, I love this, which means this is exactly for me. And I don't know if it's for anyone else, but
yeah, I could see that.
But so, you know what? It's a beautiful anomaly. It's a weird little show that I'm so glad I gave the chance to watch. And if you like animation, it's cool because it really parodies that kind of animation style, that sort of limited TV animation. It really looks cool.
Which is another thing that kind of doesn't quite exist anymore either.
No.
I mean, we do still have like cheap animation, but it doesn't look like that style. If anything, it would look more like web cartoons from the
early mid-thousands. Maybe if they keep going, they would do stuff like that. I would love for them to do more Smash, but who knows? Nadia, thank you so much for being here and talking about this weird show with me.
Thanks, Mike. It's always great to be here.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.
Shut up.